Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
All right, welcome inside the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast. Show about the show within the show. This is the podcast about the radio show, which you can get anywhere that you get your podcasts, including inside the free Odyssey app. So the Odyssey app is a one-stop shop for all of our podcasts, as well as the show live. And you can also get One Giant Step for Mraz's off-season Giant Stuff. You can get New York Accent for my long-form interview podcast as well. That's all inside the free Odyssey app. Please subscribe to all three of the podcasts, The DA Show, One Giant Step, and New York Accent. Subscribe, rate, and review. That helps other people find all the pods. We appreciate you supporting us. And that's an easy way to do it because it's free. First of all, Katie Linadal's triumphant return to the show today. You just put in the topic list Katie Linadal in studio. And usually she's got tech to promote. There's a holiday coming up. In fact, I think when you mentioned it yesterday going, when you were mentioning what's coming up on tomorrow's show, you said, I don't know, maybe it's Mother's Day gifts coming up.
Right?
So you didn't know what she was coming on to promote.
Not fully. I knew that she had the music video. Obviously, I knew that that was part of it, but we are on such a good basis with Katie now and such a good relationship that she simply texted me, hey, need to come on with you all. One works next week. Wednesday's usually a perfect in-studio. Wednesday, I go, you know, should we be prepped on anything? She goes, no, I'll just let you know when I get there. So, we have just become that good, and of course, we know it's always going to be a great spot in-studio, but yeah, there was nothing for me to preface. We just knew Katie was going to come in, and we were just going to have radio.
Do you remember how we connected with Katie the first time?
I know
origin story.
Well, do you not know?
I do.
Okay. I know that you mentioned her to me. You had seen her in other places, thought she'd be a fun spot. You thought that she would be very into kind of like our DA show demographic idea. We're funny, we're weird, and all of that. That I remember, and that I remember reaching out to her, and I remember us hitting it off pretty quickly.
The origin story was she did radio spots with Taz and the Moose.
That's right.
Way back when. If I'm not mistaken, I guess they were always on in the mornings. And then who did we replace to mid-mornings? We replaced Tiki and Tierney.
Yes, they moved to afternoons when Doug Gottlieb left the network.
So right when we got to mid-mornings, I had noticed that she had come in studio with Taz and the Moose because she was a huge wrestling fan, and she had done wrestling spots with Taz.
Ah, she had the Taz connection.
And I think she might have even brought in like a few Funko dolls or something like that, the figurines. But she was doing a lot of wrestling with Taz. She came in. I think they had T-shirts or something. And I was like, she's really funny. She's really funny. She's got that kind of out of left field sense of humor like we do, an absurd sense of humor. She knew old wrestling references. You know, she knew enough sports to where she could hold her own. And she was just fun and quick on her feet. And I was like, I think, you know, that would be great to connect with her. So I think the first time we had her on, she was promoting something tech that once Taz the Moose, I don't know how it aligns because it was before they...
Well, we had her in on the midday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they were still in the mornings.
Yeah, so we just...
So somehow we got Katie in like the divorce somehow.
Yes.
That was what was funny is that she started coming on our show so much. I don't know if that directly led to her not going on Taz's show as much or just when they moved on and they promoted us to morning, she stopped doing that with... I forget what it was, but it was just very funny. She was always through Taz and that was their connection to CBS Sports Radio. And then since we've been in this spot for 3 years, three and change. And Taz has gone on to the AEW thing or whatever, but we still have her on. So
hey,
it's very funny.
That's a great divorce win for us.
Yeah.
You know, I have actually a good Katie story on that. After we had already had her on a bunch, clearly, because she's been coming on for years, the day I was at the doctor's office with Danielle, where I was finally going to see a Taylor sonogram. So I had no kids yet. It's supposed to be sonogram day. I'm uncomfortable in a doctor's office like that. It's not typically a male doctor office. I'm looking around, the only guy in there. When you're the only guy in there, everybody knows why you're there. And the only TVs in the waiting room were all on the some kind of Weather Channel show. And Katie was the guest on the show, and she was doing a thing on, like, tents you could put under seats to watch your kids at soccer games. I'll never forget this. And she was doing this whole funny bit. And watching her make everybody laugh on the Weather Channel completely calmed me down and put me on ease before finally seeing my first sonogram of Taylor.
Wow.
That's a fun Taylor story for you.
That's cool.
A Katie story, more than Taylor story.
Yeah, Katie is just amazing. And so she comes in and she usually promotes something. Now she's doing music and she has a song out. And she just plays along so well with the whole crew. But, you know, so she comes in every couple of months and we do a bit with her. But Chris Lopresti's never in, usually. He fills in a handful of times a year. And he's in this week because Bogish is in Ireland.
The only day he's in.
This is the only day.
We got two Schwartzes and two Casertas.
So he's in charge of Stunt to a News, and he breaks out a story where a woman is born with two vaginas. Usually the way that Stunt to a News goes is we don't know what is going to be stunned until the anchor sends the email sometime during the show. This is the link to the story. So, and sometimes like a Schwartz won't even do that. So we don't know until he sits down to do it.
And I told Chris, I said, this was the time we did Stunt to a News the last 2 days, if you want to just go through it, because honestly, I forget day to day sometimes all these stories meshes want to go. If you want to just look at what we just did to make sure you don't copy it.
Yeah.
Clearly, we didn't copy that.
We had not done this story yet. In the New York Post, they wrote about this. This woman uses the two body parts as some type of marketing for her OnlyFans page. And she's very proud of it. And she says it helped her get over her
consciousnesses?
Discomfort with it or insecurities about it. Because now people pay to see it. So,
it's like the mulch sale at Lowe's.
So, Lopresti launches into this, and before he even does it, I go, whoa, what are we going to call this? Because we can't say that a lot.
And you click on the, and it pops up right there, boom, you're sitting next to Katie, headline, two vaginas.
And I'm like, well, we can, what are we going to do here? Because if he says this 10 times, Pete might dump it 10 times, then nobody even hears the story.
And the best part of calling it out like that is Pete becomes the Dean Blandino in the XFL. He's up in like central control in the replay booth. He's communicating down to the officials what's going to be the call here on the field.
So Pete hems and haws, looks at it, chuckles a little bit and says, we can say it once. We can say it once.
And Pete loves that too because it's two Pete moments. It's him on the ultimate dump control and also him as a boss making a call.
Yes. I learned afterwards that this was Pete learning from our previous boss, Mark Chernoff, who ran WFAN for a long time and CBS Sports Radio. He's in the Radio Hall of Fame. That his rule of thumb was you can say it once. Not this specific body part, but in situations like this. But don't belabor it. So it's not a curse word. It's an anatomically correct word.
Yeah.
It's just a body part. But I would imagine, had we said it as many times as we could have, it would have been bad. So,
yeah,
right off the bat, CeeLo needs to know this. If I don't stop the play there and call a timeout, does CeeLo just say it like 10 times?
I think CeeLo is radio savvy enough that I think he would have came up with funny alternatives. But the question, though, becomes, does a CeeLo know what a funny alternative becomes maybe offensive or something we can't say?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, look, we had to get control of the situation. You spotted it. You know, you pulled over the driver and said, let's hold on here. Let me just check your driving record. Let's get a talk to my sheriff here and let's go. And then we finish it off.
So he says it once, and then after that, he's just kind of referencing to it. So that worked. But through the whole thing, I'm like, this is the Stunt to a News on Katie's day. We got Katie in studio once every 4 or 5 months, and she's sitting through the two vagina story.
Yeah, where's the guy mummifying his mom on the couch, right?
That's a little dark, too. But
the big spoon being fed.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah. Perfect.
Right.
Schwartz yesterday is, oh, no, they stole the big Dairy Queen spoon from Phoenix. And
Which, of course, he comes up with the Dairy Queen story.
Then they dumped it in a high school field because the kids were playing Pokemon Go and they found it. And today it's, oh, and this woman has two vaginas and OnlyFans. Oh. So Katie's face is just like stunned to a news. And she's wide-eyed, she's shaking her head, she can't believe the story, and I'm just going, oh my God. Now, of course, she has a great sense of humor, but you just don't want to put somebody who's far more popular and successful than we are in an awkward situation because she's like a country music singer.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of dopey radio guys.
Pushing a music video for charity.
So, Katie, with one of the lines of all time, I can say it here. I mean, it's just so classic. She goes, "Nice to meet you, Chris," because this is the first time they had met. "Nice to meet you, Chris. You saved the stun to a new story about the chick with two boxes for me.
Y'all choose a story with a woman with two
Whoa!
Now, to be fair.
Like, that's your pick?
To be fair, I selected this before I knew you were going to be joining us for the segment, so no
fair
offense.
Fair enough, Chris. Great to meet you. Like, first time nice seeing you in the studio.
And we're just dying laughing.
The irony of the segment being called Stunned to a News, that was probably the most stunned we've ever been within Stunned to a News, was Katie having that word leave her mouth. Everybody you could not laugh in that moment. And Pete, boom, triggers the dump button, got rid of it.
And so he dumped it.
But Cap can't get rid of it. So that's, again, exclusive content on Twitch, on WatchDA.com, and YouTube.
And then at the end of the segment, she goes, "Okay, and please outro with your hands," right? Is it the name of the song? As we go out to break, which is just so funny. I mean, just outrageously funny. So that one was an all-timer.
Bookmark that one. And I say bookmark that one. That, to me, I will tell you, I'm not saying number one. I think that will end up being one of the 12 moments of the year in the 12 DAs. I've saved it in the folder. But Andrew Bogish is on vacation and doesn't know what happened and didn't take place. I want all our listeners who are good about this and remembering PGPs, bookmark this statement. That moment will get hurt by Bogus not doing his homework and not remembering it because he wasn't a part of it.
Good
and
point.
Therefore, he will exclude it, and it will be costly in the votes.
That's a very good point. That was a great day with Katie. Number two is your war with San Diego. And this just keeps going on and on and on. I mean, you took a video of a nice, happy day of civic pride in San Diego where Padres fans were rooting for the Aztecs, and you just dumped all over it, crapped all over it, dumped a bucket of cold water on it, and San Diego hates you. You call them frauds and losers. And so,
again, I'm sorry for losers.
When do we stop getting these tweets? Because that happened Monday morning, okay?
I tweeted it Saturday night.
Right, but we talked about it Monday morning, which went out over the air in San Diego.
Also, Kaplan knows what he's doing. Let's not, we can punish me all we want.
He stirred the pot.
You, at the end of every show, if we peel back the curtain, will email all of us on the show that mainly is targeted for Cap's post-show work. Hey, I think these would be good clips for social, put them out. Let's do this. You did not email him to put out me ranting on San Diego. Cap went rogue and tagged everybody in San Diego, all their shows, everything, so then when they're going nuts, this is in That's our right. timeline and all of this, that was all Cap. Cap then signed into at CBS Sports Radio, went on their live stream with their listeners and started commenting, "Look what our guy said, look what our guy said." So much so that I kept having people tweet at me, "Wow, you really went on there." That wasn't me. Kaplan did all of this to get the hornet's nest shook up in San Diego
at us. That's unbelievable.
So that needs to be said.
That is unbelievable.
Because people think that was me. I didn't do it. I don't know how to cut video. I didn't go on their YouTube page.
I spent 72 hours doing damage control because from a business standpoint, look, I don't care if you call them losers. I don't really. I mean, it's, it's funny. It's sports talk. It's all of that. But it is a very valuable property to the network. It's a very, very valuable property to the show. And I just want to make sure that there's an even-handed approach to where not everybody in San Diego thinks it's just a bunch of New Yorkers calling them losers. That they know there's two sides of this coin. One's calling you this, but one has your back. And so they know it's still a safe zone. So I've spent 3 days making that abundantly clear. Hey, we don't all feel this way about you. You know, which is healthy to have differing opinions, and, you know, you always enjoy throwing the Molotov cocktail, which is fun as well. But Cap, he just loves to freaking stir the pot. He's great at it. He knows exactly what to clip and how to shove it down somebody's throat. I shouldn't say shove it.
how to delicately send that message in a bottle right past the beach that you're staying at.
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, and I've had so many people. I mean, even hosts on that network. You know, you're just nonstop tweeting this take. It's not me. Like, I tweeted the take, and I own the take, and I've responded to plenty of listeners. But the idea of, like, that video being shit, that wasn't me. That was Cap. Without the Andrew Kaplan name attached to it, just the network's name attached to it.
I can't believe it. In fact, this has actually made me turn a little bit my opinion on San Diego. I had felt much like most of the Sun Belt, California, Florida, Phoenix, Atlanta, places that get expansion teams, warm weather, that they've got just better things to do a lot of the time, and that they're not so hardcore about their teams, and if they're good, great, and if they're not, who cares? There is so much anger in my timeline from people in San Diego that I'm like, you know what? San Diego is actually a much harder core sports city than I thought.
Yeah, and clearly a very good baseball town. Clearly.
A great baseball town.
I completely agree. Which, again, I'm not going to get any further. I'm done poking the bear. I've sent my I'm not even answering anybody anymore. The fact that they're such a great baseball town, in essence, was my point all along.
Finally, let's talk about Ryan Hickey.
Whoa!
Whoa! Ryan Hickey is such a gentleman. That's the guy I know. Okay? Ryan Hickey is a young, up-and-coming sports talk host. He's worked at this network for 5-6 years minimum, right? He's been around for a while.
A long time, yeah. I mean, because he's been full-time probably for like 3 or 4 years. He was a diaper D alien at one point filling in with us, so gotta be.
So he's been an intern, I think, right?
Yep.
He's run the board on our show occasionally. He's done the update, I don't think, on our show, but he's associate producer. He's had his hands in Sunday Morning Football. He's had his hands on the show, all behind the scenes stuff.
Worked his way up in here, yeah.
And he's a handsome guy. He's a well-spoken guy, and he's a cheerful guy. He never has a bad attitude. Hey, DA, what's going on?
Always makes you laugh when he opens his mouth.
Always. He's such a pleasant, nice guy. He went to Penn State. He tried to walk on the football team. Didn't go so well. He was kind of like a slot receiver, right?
Yes, and played high school football. He actually is from, and his parents live, a couple blocks from me. Like, he's born and bred, so that kind of trashy person, for sure.
But he's so pleasant. Unlike the rest of us rapscallions in radio that dress poorly or speak a certain sailor's language or just, radio is just, it is the island of misfit toys, and nobody is too, like, well put together or too pleasant. Everybody has a little bit of a weird streak to them. Some of it is, it's all over the place. He seems like the most normal guy ever to be in sports talk radio. He's so normal and pleasant.
So much so that he shouldn't be in sports talk radio.
It definitely feels like a weird fit. So I've never heard him say anything antagonistic. His Twitter is usually very pleasant and down the middle. Like, he's never said a bet. He's not lazy. He's not a drunk. He's not arrogant. He's nothing. He's not a slob. He's not none of the things that you say about radio. So for us to have the last 4 or 5 months, and I'm so happy that he's a full-time job. He's now the producer of the Zach Gelb Show. He does updates. He does fill-in hosting.
He has his own show. Friday nights into Saturday mornings is the Ryan Hickey Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yep, and so that's how long has that been?
Since football season, I think.
Right, so 6 months or so. Right.
The old pork store hours.
The old pork store hours. So, you know, Hickey's developing his brand and putting his voice out there, et cetera, and he's really good. But in the last 3 months, we have had really interesting incidents of Ryan Hickey cutting totally against the grain of what I knew about him.
Stenson Bennett.
Number one, he goes out to follow Penn State to the Rose Bowl and gets hammered. Number one, I didn't know he got hammered, like that he drinks that much.
Yeah. But by the way, fine. You're at the Rose Bowl, your team's out there.
I'm not judging it at all.
Yeah, sure.
But then does a Instagram or a Twitter video with a take when he's blotto drunk.
Yeah, no big deal.
So I'm like, wow, Hickey's getting that hammered and putting a video out as he's that hammered and is not worried about...
No deletion, owns it.
And then we have him 2 weeks ago or so ranting about Russell Westbrook, was it, or Kyrie?
Russell Westbrook.
And in the middle of his rant with Gelb, drops an F-A-hole.
he's a bleeping a-hole, but says the whole word.
And then quickly realizes it turns it to freaking, which gives us the gulp. Whoa!
He says he's ranting and says he's an effing a-hole. On the radio!
Yeah.
And
not his show either, as the producer watching his host Gelb go, whoa!
I've never heard him use either one of those words. Whoa. And then the other day, he's doing his solo show, and I was kind of joking about him stealing my take. I mean, everybody, of course, can have the same sports take and come to it from different ways. I actually, on Friday morning, had said I think that FAU could become a Gonzaga of the East Coast simply because it looks like they're paying Dusty May a lot of money. They've got a really good recruiting area. Gonzaga doesn't, but they've invested in basketball. And if you just have a school, a smaller school, that goes, we'll just invest in basketball all in, like, you could start getting kids. So I made the connection between the two. Gonzaga had one big run, I think, in 99 or something, 2000, and it kind of launched them. And they had to keep Mark Few around to do it. So I said, if you keep Dusty May around, maybe you can do it. Somehow, I didn't expect to hear him recite that take. Apparently, he came to that take himself as well on Friday night during the old pork store hours. But then in the middle of it, he burps.
Which, by the way, shows you how casual he felt about the take.
And he has a dump button and didn't dump it.
And a cough button and could just simply turn the mic off.
Yeah, right.
There's like three ways to get rid of a burp.
And he didn't. I've never heard him burp. So this is a series of things I've never heard Ryan Hickey do that have all happened on the air or publicly on social media. What's going on?
Drunk videos, burping, dropping bleeping bleep holes. He's basically become Kid Rock on CBS Sports Radio.
It's unreal. He's Howard Stern. He's a bad boy of radio.
He is. And yet, we can't. None of us are mad at any of the three.
No.
You can't be. We embrace it.
And I love Hickey.
Yes.
It's almost like he's doing these things innocently, but it's building That's up it. As a bad boy.
He's got a resume now of a bad boy, but they're all unique. You could actually separate them all three and go, oh, how innocent was that? Oh, I've been there. I get that. And that's kind of crazy to formulate yourself that way.
I suspended you for multiple weeks on the PGP for burping. Should Gelb suspend Hickey?
Whew. I think he should.
You do?
I think he should. Look, I think the precedent's been set here at CBS Sports Radio. Look, you got to learn that that's not okay. And simply saying I didn't mean it is not okay. Look, I didn't, well, I guess I did mean it when I burped, but I got taught a valuable lesson. I think all can admit I'm a much more mature human being than I was at burp time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's time Hickey, who's getting a lot of accolades, gets reeled back a little bit. A little suspension, no mic on the Zach Gelb show for a week. That'll teach you a lesson.
And that's a quick way to teach somebody.
Yeah. They have to sit and stew in their own thoughts and realize how punished they were. Look, you may hate the punishment, what's happened to you in real time, but ultimately it's for the better for you. I could write a book if I could read one on this whole thing.
We need Hickey at the Bob's Bar Show on June the 16th.
We do.
Because he's become, he can't miss, who knows what he's going to say next and how he's going to offend the listeners.
Maybe you do a shot. Everybody does a shot together with Hickey, and then we keep reciting no big deal after every shot, and then see who's the last one that can still say no big deal. How drunk could they get?
He's a shock jock. No big deal.
This has really become a rolling carnival, by the way, Bob's Bar. There's just going to be tables set up for everything you want to experience at CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to the Zach Gelb show to see what Hickey says next, or the Ryan Hickey show to see what Hickey says next.
Yeah. Hot take Hickey. Hot burps Hickey. No big deal.
Hot burps Hickey. We know Boyle will be there, and he's okay with Oil Boyle, I think.
Yeah, I still haven't talked to him about it.
He's going to be there, he told us.
Okay. I'm 2 weeks away from officially texting Badlands. You don't want to get him too far notice.
No.
I get too close to get text him back anyway. And just, you know, I'll make sure he's a good. Once he's confirmed that he's good, then I'll just say, hey, this is what we need you to do, and I know it'll be fine.
Do you wait until April is over to do it in May so you can say next month?
Maybe. That could make more sense. It's a May 1st text. And again, to confirm it, yeah, I'm good that day. Then it becomes, by the way, this is what we're going to need out of you. A little burp, a little slap at the kielbasa. Whatever you want to do with the coffee's fine. Do the Badlands thing. And just speaking with her, by the way, Katie has it on the schedule.
Oh, wow.
She said, obviously, travel or something gets caught up with change. But as of now, I want to make that clear, the plan is Katie to be at Bob's Bar. And that'll be our Father's Day gift guide as well early in the show. Because it's Father's Day weekend. She usually comes on before Father's Day anyway, so she's usually around in town at that time anyway. She'll make the drive to Long Island and make a Bob's Bar appearance as long as something wacky doesn't happen with her travel.
Wow.
Which is great.
Unbelievable.
So now, enticing any of those listeners to come, you could also meet Katie.
Could you imagine? This could be like Comic-Con.
It's going to be bananas. I mean, just bananas. People hanging from the roof. Channing, one more gadget. One more gadget.
No big deal.
As long as they're not yelling toga, toga at Jack Stern, we're fine.
When Hickey did his drunk video from the Rose Bowl, he just was like, who do they beat?
Utah.
Utah. We dominated Utah. No big deal. We just dominated Utah. No big deal.
Come back next year. No big deal.
Bogish is in Ireland this week, and so I hear that we have a Pete the Body setting on Side B.
Yeah, and you would think, by the way, it has been tougher to book Pete for Side B than it has been any guest on the show the last month and a half.
We got Tom Glavine easier?
So you're going to think I'm laughing? Yes. Tom Glavine gave me a yes within 2 minutes. Pete's been a lot of hemming and hawing to carve out the time here. So, and if we don't hurry up, he's going to walk out on me. So.
Okay. We'll cut now so we can get to the big Side B next.
Ho, 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 howdy, doody, do. It's Mraz on Side B. How are you? We are locked and loaded. You just listened to a Side A of the PGP. Now it's a Side B with Petey B, who we're going to get to in just one moment. Yes, Pete the Body Bellotti back on the PGP with Andrew Bogish in Ireland. Pete the Body, how are you?
Do we know if he's in Ireland?
Well, that's where I wanted to start real quick. I will never forget this trash. You once trashed people who are on vacation, and while on vacation are constantly uploading pictures and updating, like the old, we get it, you're on vacation.
Right.
And I could tell you that Andrew Bogish had a daily post with everything he's done. He's kissed the Blarney Stone. He's gone to, Kilwins, wherever he's going, Kilkenny. Kilwins is an ice cream place.
Well, I'll say this. If there's a place to do that in, it's Ireland. So I'll give him a pass on this one this time. That's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah.
And good for them, but... Bogish, going on all these vacations. I mean, I could barely get to Pennsylvania without a problem.
It does make you start to wonder, the multiple Cancuns, Ireland, being able to fly to Vegas and Wrigley on a day's notice. That Bogish money. You know, something's up with that contract. There's Bogish money.
They know guys.
Yeah, or that, right. Or somebody hit a lotto ticket that we don't know and won anonymously.
That's right.
Something happened there.
Bogish is a millionaire.
So, real quickly, a couple things I want to get your opinion on.
Sure.
We just touched on Saturday. First of all, DA coming to you and pivot to you as both, you know, the operating engineer and a boss figure in CBS Sports Radio. When Chris Lopresti uses a story about two vaginas, and we have to make a declaration on what words we could use, do you think you made the right call in saying the word once?
Yes. It's one of the old bosses here had a thought about that. If it's a word that's not going to get us a fine or anything like that, you use it once and then get away from it. So I went with that thought process. It's a part of the body. It wasn't being used.
Not the body.
Right, not the body.
Right.
It wasn't being used in a lewd manner. We were describing a story. Say it once and that's it.
All right, so with that, Pete.
Yes.
Katie Linendahl happens to be in studio here during this.
Great, Katie Linendahl.
She is sitting there stunned to a noose on her face at the story we are doing. And she drops the word, and we can say it here on the podcast, boxes. And I think one of the most stunning moments of the year,
yes.
And I told DA this on Side B or Side A, I think the most stunned I've ever been to a stunned to a noose. What was your, take you through the internal, the body reaction. When Katie says that, you're the one who has to dump it out from the audio feed. What are you thinking when Katie Linendahl says that word?
I'm stunned to a noose. I'm stunned when that happens because Katie knows, is one guest that's very good at assessing where she is. if she's doing a podcast, she knows what she could do on the podcast. If she's doing a radio hit with us, she knows what she could say. So when it came, and she's somebody that does not use that type of
language.
So going down that road was a little shocking to me, but I had to do my job and get rid of it. People on the stream heard it because that is not a FCC issue.
Again, shows you the exclusive content you get over there.
That's right. But I was just stunned. I was totally stunned by Katie in that regard. And a little behind the scenes on the story. So when CeeLo was heading toward doing the story and was ready to toss to the stuns open, I in my head I'm like, oh no. This is the story about the two vaginas.
Yeah, we looked at each other and realized Katie was in the studio.
We caught it like right at the last minute. Like, oh, this is maybe, and DA caught it at the same time. Like right when the open's playing, we're like, I don't know what we're gonna do here. I think we managed it very well. I think it made for a possible 12 DA.
So I just brought that up to DA on side A. I said, I wonder, because when you think about 12 DAs, we still haven't properly defined this, it's most memorable. I can't remember a moment this year that I was that stunned at was her saying that, but Bogus not being here. We just mentioned the vacation in Ireland. I wonder if we almost have to do our due diligence to, like, feed Bogus the minute. Bogus, put this in your head and just picture you being there. Like, play it for a week straight in your head. This way it's properly voted on when the time comes. Because couldn't you easily see we have a list of 40 candidates again? He kind of skims over because it doesn't remember.
It'll get lost. But I don't think it's the number one or five. I could see this in the end. I could see this ending up stuck in the chimney or first floor.
Wow.
After that, it's really nothing else with it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole story is kind of hilarious.
Right, but it's like short. It's short. I feel like it makes for a better first floor out.
Well,
but, I mean, we can get there and we can see, hey, it's the best. It's better than all these other ones. But I think it will play somewhere in the middle somewhere.
It does show you what a powerful segment 12 Days of Christmas has if you could debate them every time in real time.
We need a selection committee.
Yes, we do. Yeah, just not Moist Pork hiring one, as he's basically
alluding
maybe to.
Maybe get Condoleezza Rice to come in and do it.
It could work. It could work. So you weren't in on Monday. Mm-hmm. You took a little wraparound weekend. You walk into the firestorm that is me versus San Diego that DA and I just broke down. That's gone on now for 4 days.
Stop doing this.
What do you want me to stop doing? I would think that you as a Met fan who lost to the Padres and have all these Padre fans laughing at the New York scene because of the Mets.
Uh-huh.
I would have thought for sure when I had this take, Pete's going to be with me. Well, but you're telling me to back off.
Yeah, because it was a previously scheduled event. For the fans of the Aztecs and the Padres. You could do both. You can't just do one at a time. I think it goes back to a thought, and one of our Twitter followers said this, is that you like to critique how to be a fan. And I think people get turned off by that. And then you go into your typical routine of pissing off a place, a location, a fan base, etc., and you did it again. You keep doing it.
I like making people look in the mirror and think about what they've done.
But it's sports.
Well, let me ask you something. Forget what I said about San Diego. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Pete the Body, who's sitting here in Metro. The Mets are your favorite team above every other
team. That's right, number one.
Okay, which I've had to declare now. As much as I love the Yankees, after this podcast, I'm heading to a Yankee game. I have to say I'm a Giants fan first because I've never missed anything for that. But I mentioned the Billy Joel concert, which, by the way, I'm the one that mentioned. You, as a Met fan. Okay, the Mets make the World Series this year, all right? They are down 3-2. It's a game 6. Okay, I say that because you're talking about an elimination game that could force a championship winner to take goal.
Of course.
That is the equivalent of a Final Four.
Uh-huh.
Let's say the World Series, for whatever reason, is being played at 4 o'clock on a Saturday.
Okay.
You are given ahead of time early season New York Islanders tickets, another one of your favorite teams. Okay?
Right.
The Islanders announced the game starts at 7. The World Series game is at 4 or 4:30. Come on into our arena early. We will have the Met game on. But you know, even if they continue running it, if this game happens to run a little longer or they have to start doing lineup stuff, you're going to lose game sound. It's going to get shifted away. You could go to maybe the concourse at a bar, which is different. Do you go to that Islander game?
Me personally, I don't.
Okay.
Because I can't be around. I kind of, the older I get, I need to be around just a certain amount of people for games like that.
Right.
But that's me.
And that's now, a lot of people, Pete.
But also, there are people that can be around 25,000 people in the stadium.
Well, okay. There are
they should
people.
Have the right to do that.
Pete, I'm not saying they shouldn't have the right. And this was my point all along. To me, I consider, and this is just me, my own fan rules. I can tell people whatever. They don't have to listen to me. I consider a true diehard fan to be that in which, like, I can't be distracted by anything else. My team is in the biggest game right. ever. I got to watch the freaking game.
Okay.
And I consider going to a baseball game, even if it's your favorite baseball team, just because they say they're going to have the game on early, you're putting yourself in a position between
variables.
But that
variables. Might, they, look.
I know I painted it with anyone, but that's my point.
That might be, the Aztecs might be their third best team, favorite team.
That's
and the
my
Padres,
point.
But they should have the right to do that.
Yes, they should. And,
but
that, and that's why it's a good
you're critiquing
moment.
Them on basically, hey, you
I'm
can't,
saying you're a bigger Padre fan than you're an Aztec fan.
But you said they were losers.
Because they're hugging each other like it's the most emotional moment
wasn't
in their
that
life.
Bad. Come on. They were celebrating.
Also,
they were celebrating.
It wasn't high. It was
what are you
going to
do, sit there on your hands?
No, you should celebrate and high five. It's a cool moment. But the reaction, and maybe it's more that we were shown the reaction. When I want to see it, the buzzer beater, I want to see true and true diehard Aztec fans.
What, you don't want the people, you don't want somebody not sharing that video? That's a pretty interesting video.
To me, though, that video got so much traction. Like, look how unbelievable a moment this was at Petco Park. When I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but those aren't the diehard Aztec fans, so they wouldn't be in a crowd listening to Rocky starting lineups.
All right, I'll give you...
That's my point.
I will give you an example. It's a New York example.
Okay.
Right? There's video out there of the Giants playing the Redskins, or the previously known as Redskins, on the day the Mets won the World Series.
Right.
Right? And the crowd went crazy for the Mets winning the World Series. They flashed it on the scoreboard. Now, if we had Twitter back then,
I would have called those Met fans cheering at Giants and frauds.
That's totally ridiculous. Because
your team has a chance to win a World Series.
The Giants might be the number one team, and they're rooting for another team as well.
But that's the thing. Go crazy. A nice hand.
No, you see, this goes back to you constantly critiquing people for how they want to be fans. People can be fans the way they want to be.
They absolutely
that's
can
it.
Be. But so, then you better be able to take heat when you got a little fraudulent
from you,
pinch on you.
Not from no one else.
Yeah,
from you.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm right.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't take anything he says about your fandom to heart, please. He is a total blowhard on this. I've told you this before, that you gotta lay off these guys for being fans.
This is how I end up on the porch crying after week one, because I just care more than other
this
people.
This is how you end up down in the basement, sleeping in the basement.
I have a little more care than other people. That's
a little
all.
More care? I mean, come on. All right, stop instigating these guys, please.
I'm done with
it. Look,
I've said my piece.
San Diego.
They go back to the beach and stop pretending like they care about basketball now.
Now, what they really should be looking at is go back to that Musgrove game and tell me that he cheated. That's what you should look at.
So now Pete can't let something go versus San Diego.
No, I'm just trying to be fair.
All right, where can we get you on Twitter? They can send all complaints about that.
At Pete the Body.
All right, you can follow me at Mraz CBS. Have a good evening, San Diego.